from the regional.
I can step in there.
I thought it was very informative. What's her name that's taken over the dementia part?
Whitney Thompson.
Whitney did an excellent job at telling what she's doing and how she's working in different areas. Very informative. She spread the awareness of giving and how to begin working with groups. She had the Riverdale school system that she's worked with, and I think it's just tremendous to get this out to the people and how we can help, how we can handle dementia, Alzheimer's, and she's going to be doing a lot more of it. She's scheduling. She's got her hands full. She's got a big job.
She's got a good attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has.
She's young.
She's young and vibrant.
She's a go-getter.
Yeah.
She definitely
I think the other thing is we brought to forefront that as far as the budget was concerned, the ADRC is going to remain pretty much.
Yes. Department of Health Services, though, is going to be looking at consistencies, and they're going to want to quantify things, which is not a bad thing. We were at the ADRC Connect every other month. We have a face-to-face ADRC Connect meeting, we call it, and it's all the state directors come together, and we meet with Office of Resource Center Development, which is in the Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources, which is a part of the Division of Long-Term Care, which is, you know, it keeps the layers kind of keep going up. So yes, as we know at ADRC, the statute, the language is coming out. The only motion that's left in there that we were wondering about is their evaluation between income maintenance, the coalitions with income maintenance and ADRCs. Because somewhere the legislators feel that there's overlap. Because they were talking about the fact that we help people with like Medicaid applications and things like that, but we do not do eligibility, financial eligibility. We do functional eligibility with the functional screen. So Wisconsin's Counties Association is actually, they've asked Wisconsin Human Services Association to contact the governor's office to see if they veto that portion of the motion. So we don't know what's going to happen with that yet. But yes, otherwise it's staying pretty much the same, but definitely Office of Resource Center Development is taking a step back and looking at how can we quantify what we do in the ADRC, because we do a lot of things and there's a lot of stories, wonderful stories that come out and very good success stories, but how do we know how much money we're actually saving Medicaid by keeping people in their homes longer? You know, how do we do that? So they're working on that.
Mary, where's ADRC going to be 10 years from now?
Where is it going to be 10 years from now?
Your place.
I don't mean location. Where is it?
My opinion, I think ADRCs will still be around, definitely, because they do. They have shown, and actually the state was able to come up with some data that showed that we had, like, there was 438,000 contacts made for ADRCs last year. And then they were able to bring it down because they had names and birthdays of some people that were in there. And Ann Olson was very excited about this. Ann's the director of the Office of Resource Center Development. And she said out of that, there was like 7,000 people that actually went into Medicaid services. You know, all the contacts, all the people that contacted the ADRC. So, you know, there's definitely... definitely showing that we're saving taxpayer, you know, we're saving Medicaid dollars on that. 10 years from now, I'm guessing that's going to be a little bit more. I don't know. They went back and forth. They're talking about integration with aging, the aging units, and because in our area we're already kind of integrated. Up north, they're not. ADRC of the North, their aging units are actually non-for-profits, and then they contract with the counties, you know, to do the aging services. So it's a little bit, they have to have memorandums of understanding and all of that, which is a lot, you know, because I talked to Barb Peterson up there, who's the director. I see it integrated. That's one of the things that they were being told, that, you know, they're going to be integrated. Now, they haven't given us a clear definition of what integrated means. Does that mean that it's also the budgets? Does it mean that if you're a regional, is it going to be regional services? And if so, how does that work? So there was a big, long discussion about that, and I think we're gonna see some changes, but I don't think it's going to be anything too outlandish at this point. They were talking statewideness and consistency. I think you can have that. However, they also talk localness, and that the fact that it's very important to keep ADRCs local. Because, you know, people can call, you build a rapport. I mean, especially over in this area, I'm from Purdue, Sheen, for crying out loud. You want to see the person eye to eye. You don't want to see them over the, you don't want to hear them over the phone. You know, you want to look at them. You want to be able to see their face, and you want to be able to know that they're there to help you, and that they're not, you know, somebody over in India or someplace, sorry.
But my question is, what is the answer to someone who says to you, the only reason you guys function is to increase all the programs that are out there?
There's a misconception.
There is a misconception out there. Increase the Medicaid programs?
Yes.
Well, that's where I think we're going to get some of that data that's going to show that we aren't. We're actually increasing prevention programs and helping people to stay in their homes longer, keep healthier, that type, like the diabetes, like the, you know, that type of thing. I think there's still, yeah, there is a misconception out there. But, you know, as I look at this, I mean, we've only been around 7 years. And I think when there's been people have come to know the ADRCs more. Our contacts keep going up every year. I think as, you know, people have some successes with the ADRCs that they're out there telling other people. I mean, our biggest referral system is people who've already used the ADRC, and that's across the state.
You know, and contacts just doesn't mean that you've stuck them in a program.
No, contacts.
See,
mean,
and...
Well, and actually, you know what, we had last year in 2014, the region had 7,153 contacts. Those were not duplicated contacts. Out of that, 3% or 300 people enrolled in a Medicaid program.
And if you look at the census for this geographical part of the state and look at the aging population, you look down 10 years or so, 15, 20 years from now.
Yes, it's going to be 25% plus. Yeah. 65 and older is going to be 25% plus. So, yeah. I mean, it's good. But I also listened to Helen Marks Dix, who's the lobbyist advocate for AARP in Wisconsin. She's very vocal and doing a lot over it with the Capitol and with the legislators lately. You know, she was saying that, you know, they say that the baby boomers are going to be the end all, you know, it's going to end Medicaid, it's going to, you know, everything's going to go broke and things like that. She said, that's not the case. You know, that's maybe, you know, there's 10% of people that will be using those. And otherwise, you know, baby boomers are going to be the ones volunteering, they're going to be the ones, you know, doing a lot for what's happening now, and that's why we're getting into some of the prevention programs. They just got done with the Yoga for Seniors project, the last one in Platteville, last class in Platteville, and the assessments were just done this last week. And so that one, it's going to be very interesting once we get all of that data, because they're wanting to take that statewide now, and that's a falls prevention. So, you know, they're doing a lot with falls prevention, a lot with chronic, you know, people with chronic illness. You know, the state's really, that's going to be mentioned for the community. It's another one, you know. Just an FYI on that, the governor's budget only allows for 12 positions for 12 positions. There's 16 in Medicare specialists in the state of Wisconsin. So we don't know what that means yet either. So hopefully we can keep Whitney.
Have you heard anything what's going on in Wisconsin Cares?
There's quite a bit of stuff going on. I was just at Monday night. Lori told me that I shouldn't hit a deer, but a deer hit coming back from a meeting.
She was going to Casanova. Do you know how bad it is?
I was going up to Casanova because
she didn't hit it in Richland County.
No, it was in actually it was in Greene County. I mean, it almost home, and then the thing comes barreling across the field.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. Hey, I had an off-duty police officer behind me, and she saw it. She said, I saw it coming across the field, and she says, I was hoping that you know, the person ahead of me saw that. She said, then I saw the deer kind of go up, over, and slide back over into the ditch. Yeah, so, anyhow. But,
oh, dear.
I was at a meeting last Monday night with Representative Dean Knudsen, Representative Todd Novak, and Representative Brooks, Ed Brooks, and Ed Salk. Todd Novak is our area, except for you guys, because you guys have Travis Tranel. And then Dean Knudsen is one of the authors of the motion. So there was quite a few people there. It was very interesting. Continuous was there. A lot of people that were on IRIS. And he did some clarifying with the long-term care stuff, which I found very interesting. He said, currently what's happening, he said, you know, people are kind of, and actually there was two gentlemen that came from Milwaukee that both have some pretty significant medical needs that are on IRIS that asked a lot of really good questions. So he opened up with kind of talking about the motion and the fact that, you know, ADRCs, and he made it clear right away that ADRCs are staying as is and that they're, you know, it was pulled out of the budget and that they're remaining local. But he got talking about long-term care, and he said it will go, he says right now what they're, the Department of Health Services has to come up with a concept plan. They have to get approval through the from the feds. They have to come up with a concept plan for what this is going to look like, what long-term care is going to look like. And that they have to have that to joint finance by April 1st of 2016. So that's next year already. So then what he's saying is that once they get that plan in place, then it's probably going to be the next budget cycle when all of this kind of goes into effect. But then there's a three-year transition. So he said, it won't be like, okay, right now we're doing family care, and then tomorrow it's going to be the integrated health agencies. The other piece, and there will be integrated health agencies, he's talking that there will be five districts, at least five districts, and probably there may be seven. So he said, with these smaller districts, that somebody like Continuous, who we use, may be able to look at becoming an insurance company. But then he also, but they're all going to be insurance companies. They're going to be called integrated health agencies. IRIS will be part of a managed care piece of it. But that the people that will be in that self-directed service will maintain budget authority. So they will maintain their authority over their own budget is what they're saying right now.
The insurance companies, it's kind of a conflict of interest, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they're going to have, if in these five districts, what they said that they're going to have at least two integrated health agencies, so there will be a choice. And then the other thing that he said that I was kind of was very interested in is the fact that, like, Continuous could partner up with, like, a United, you know, or an Anthem or a Molina or, you know, one of the bigger insurance companies to provide the long-term care piece of it. And then they could look at the acute care piece. So, you know, there's some real intricate kind of pieces to this that, you know, it was like, well, that's interesting. And Terry Burrows was there at the meeting along with their chief operations officer. But I found that very interesting. And he said, too, with because the gentlemen that were there from that were on IRIS were concerned about keeping their current doctors because their doctors are, you know, very... they've been around for years, and they know their health needs real intimately. And he said with that, it's going to be at least three years where it's any willing provider. So that, you know, that doctor, those doctors, if they're not in a provider network with the integrated health agency, he would have 3 years to transition out of using that particular those particular doctors. So it's... To me, it was more like, okay, we can take a breath a little bit. I mean, it's still going to change and it's still going to be very different, but it's not going to happen overnight. So I think people will have a little bit more time to kind of go, okay, we'll look at it.
But that's not the case up in La Crosse area.
Oh, what's going on?
They're completely going to change the procedure, and it's going to be in effect by August of 15th.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, a big change. Now, I got this letter with all these big words in and stuff. It didn't mean a hill of beans to me because I can't follow what they're trying to say. And this came just boom. The workers are going to be moved. A lot of different personnel.
And this is from Wisconsin Cares?
Yes.
Surely?
Yes.
Do you... if you want, you can send us a copy. And
yeah, send us a copy of it, Shirley. We can look at it, because Tim Geary was in those meetings. Tim Geary's on the, he's the executive director, I think, of Wisconsin Cares, and he was at the Wisconsin Long-Term Care Coalition meeting.
So is it internal changes that Wisconsin Cares is making within the system, is what I'm guessing.
But not to the client.
Well, yeah,
it will affect.
Well, it will really affect the client. That throws the client. You know,
different
those
people.
That were social worker and the nurse. What's her title?
Nurse care manager. And
all those people are being moved around, and they're structuring it differently, as I understand. I read the letter over a couple of times, and I thought, what does this mean? And there's a new name that came in that's head of it. I thought someone else, and I've never heard her name up in the Cross area before.
May I get a copy too, please?
Sure.
Yeah, you might.
Because I've worked with it.
You might have some insight.
Might be able to explain it a little bit.
Can't guarantee it, but maybe.
Yeah. It has a lot to do with, REM is reorganizing. I don't know if there's even going to be a REM anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, REM, you've heard that.
Because I used to work for him. For 13 years. That's interesting. Okay, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Right now, my understanding is some of the MCOs are having a hard time finding staff.
Been a big change.
Because of the budgets, they're not able to find. People aren't applying for their positions because they don't know what's going to happen with the company at this point.
People tend to jump ship if they get nervous and get an opportunity to go somewhere else. So.
Correct.
Yeah. Give me your emails. I'll just email the whole.
I don't have an email.
Oh, you don't have email. No. Okay, well I'll get you a copy.
Okay. Anything else on that, Mary?
Unless anybody's got any questions.
Questions. Okay, we went.
Sorry, Steve, I didn't know if I answered your question what's going to happen with 10 years.
I think the biggest thing that came out of that was we really educated legislators on what ADRCs do. If they have a much better understanding of what we do.
Well, the governor's budget, the things that we've talked about, the big changes and stuff, it was almost like, okay, here's the direction, but just like the problems we had here, it takes time to change these. Yeah. And I thought, okay, this is just the beginning of many changes, and a lot of times they're not changes for the best. That's what you worry about.
But I think in kind of even like with lean, everything is standardizing, and I think that's really what the Bureau is looking to do with ADRCs, is doing more standardizing with, so that everybody kind of has the same experience when they walk in.
Brian Shope, who's the division of long-term care, he's the director right now, but they're going to be moving, two divisions together. It's going to be the Division of Medicaid Services is what I believe they're going to call it. And both of the directors, one's Keith, is it Keith or Kevin? And then Brian Shope are both numbers guys. And actually, Brian was executive of human services for Brown County.
Brown County.
And they did the lean.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be coming around to where they're kind of standardizing that way, which I don't think is a bad thing.
No.
I think consistency across the board is a good thing. They want to have everybody be able to have the same, like regional. If they come into Greene County, they're going to have the same experience as if they come into Grant County or Iowa County or Lafayette County. Because we're working together to kind of make that consistent. So, the piece that was brought up, at the ADRC Connect meeting and the ADPA meeting was the fact that, you got different counties that do have different systems, and so you have to work with those systems as they are right now. Yeah. So, I don't know, more to come. I don't think the good news is we've got a better understanding of it, and knowledge for our legislators and a better rapport with them. So, I've already received a couple emails from Senator Markline's staff asking for some assistance on some things. Yeah. So I think, we've got some good relationship building going on.
Mary was part of that core committee, and they really, they did a tremendous job of getting out there and getting the word out as to what was going on and, the concerns that we had. Really, really good at educating. So. thankful for that.
Okay, thank you. All right, renew term for Jan. So we just have to ask her?
You notice I just put, we were just going to do it, Jan. Right?
We just ask her if she wants to stay on?
We politely say, would you continue to stay on?
Oh, would you continue to stay on? We don't have to vote on that, right?
Yes, we actually
Oh, yes, we do. All right.
I make a motion that we maintain Jan for another 3 years.
Is it two, I think?
Two.
Is it two?
Okay, Shirley made the motion. I have a second.
Second.
Carrie Bell, second. Any further discussion?
Thank you.
Hearing none, let's vote on that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, you're on. Because you have to take over when I leave. In a few minutes. Let's go to the prayer policy.
Okay. After meeting with the transportation subcommittee, I did decide that maybe we did need to reevaluate the policies that we had and firm them up a little bit. So I'm just passing those around. Just to kind of reiterate what the subcommittee looked at in terms of that we're focusing on those consumers that are in their own home and not necessarily providing transportation to nursing homes and private facilities so much. I did put an exception in there in the TRIPS policy in case, you know, because there's always an exception to the rule, so any exceptions we would look at on a case-by-case basis. But so essentially we just revised it so there was some criteria that, you know, the main criteria being obviously they're Grant County, that they're elderly or disabled,
thank you,
that they live in their own home, that they're not in a wheelchair. For trips, we do not do wheelchair transports because of we're using private vehicles. So the wheelchair transports would be done in our specialized. And that they do have to have no access or very limited transportation. And then not on medical assistance. And some of this was in the old policy. Basically, what I did was just kind of revamp it to reiterate the live in their own home part of it. And then if you look at the bottom part, it just talks about the different trips. In my discussions with DOT people, I have found out that nutrition is supposed to kind of be a priority of the volunteer driver program as well in terms of people need nutrition services. It's very unclear as to what they mean by that, but I included it in the policy, so we can look at that down the line as to what exactly that means. My experience with the DOT this week is the same experience I have when I called the DOT on personal issues, is that they forward me to a lot of other people who can't help me either.
Sounds like everything's kind of normal.
It's a little frustrating because they do have a new person in, and you know, she's got to get up to speed on stuff, but I was questioning her on some things, and she told me not to worry about the numbers on the report. They don't put a lot of stock in those numbers, and I'm like, well,
then why am I doing
Am I doing this report for you, then? So at the, I think it just sort of reiterates what the priorities of the subcommittee met. And again, as we go through this, we'll try to look at it. But really what was happening, what I made clear to the subcommittee was what was happening was we were getting a lot of calls from facilities, nursing homes and things like that. And, you know, we just can't, Grant County's got a lot of nursing homes. It's a big county. And we just can't be providing to all of them. We do have the LIFT program here now. And some other things. So we will be giving those information. And I did have a conversation with Ashley at Lyft about that, letting him know that we're going to focus on those people living in their own home, and we will make, you know, other referrals to him for those other ones. And essentially that's the way he looks at it, too, is that his program doesn't get this kind of funding, so they are the funding source that would pick up the gaps in service that we can't get to. So hopefully that will work. And then, like I said, you know, we will always look at something on a case-by-case basis if we need to. That's just the way it is. So that's the TRIPS policy. Do you want to? I would kind of like a motion. That approved. I just think it provides better direction for staff in the future, and we can refer to that policy when we're dealing with some facilities that might have some issues.
Hi.
Okay. Can I have
can
a motion?
Make that motion.
Thank you.
Gary Bell made the motion. We accept the TRIPS policy. Yes, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Dave seconds it. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Okay. Accepted as is.
Okay. Specialized is again, specialized is just our two wheelchair accessible vans that we use for people that are in a wheelchair. And again, have no access to or limited transportation. And again, with that, we are going to try to limit that as best we can to people living in their own homes. Again, we were getting a lot of requests from the nursing homes, particularly one in town here, and almost on a they'll call and we'll provide transportation service. And we just, again, we don't have the ability to do that for all of the nursing homes and all of the assisted facility, you know, living facilities in Grant County. So we did kind of want to take a look at that and just limit that a little bit. And again, if it rises to the top again, or if we see an issue, I'll bring it back and we'll look at maybe how we can meet that need. But again, there are some other transport companies out there that can provide services to people. So again, this basically just kind of goes through what the subcommittee had talked about.
Well, the one thing I just thought in discussing this was to be sure that if somebody calls into the ADRC and with these changes we're not able to assist them, that we're able to give them information where to go.
Yes.
That we don't just cut them
short. And we absolutely do that. We actually, in some cases that we've done in the past, I've actually called Lyft for them and had a conversation with Lyft and then had Lyft give them a call. If I feel like that's going to be a little bit confusing for them, then we will just make that call to Lyft. And a lot of times before we have changed services on somebody, we've had that conversation with Lyft ahead of time. So we know that they do have the ability to do that.
And I think what kind of brought this up, too, is some of the nursing homes had their own transportation, and then they let it go because they thought they could use you. Mm-hmm. And so they did not keep vehicles for transportation with their residents. Because
you had
transportation available,
yeah.
So
you know,
took it out of their cost.
Yeah, and I guess that was, you know, what we talked about with the subcommittee is, you know, should we be the nursing home transportation? And I mean, the feeling was no, that's really not our responsibility. Is really to get out to the residents or in their own home. Now, again, I do have some emails into a couple DOT staff, again, just to clarify that these do work with the funding sources that we have, because I believe that they do, but I'm telling you, the funding sources for DOT, a couple of them pull in on vehicles, and it depends on where the funds came to purchase the vehicle, and so it's kind of hard to know what plays in and where. The taxi is still available for nursing home transports in the towns that they serve. The shared ride has to be open to the public, and that includes the nursing homes. So the shared ride in Lancaster, Boscobel, and Fenimore can pick up anyone from assisted living, nursing home, wherever, and transport. So, but if I get something different from the DOT, I will let you know that as well. So.
Okay, we need a motion on that too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I have a motion to accept the specialized transportation policy.
Mike
and Jan seconds it. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
Thank you.
All right, the 2016-19 aging plan.
The aging plan, I told you before, typically what I heard from other directors in the region is this typically starts like in February, and WAR didn't even get us a draft one until the end of April, and then about 3 or 4 weeks later, they've now sent us out the template for the aging plan, and it's due back in September already. It's a very quick turnaround, considering we're supposed to gather information from stakeholders and do a public hearing and all of that. So it will be coming to you probably very quickly as soon as I get working on it. But one of the things that we're doing, because it's almost impossible with that turnaround to hold a whole lot of listening sessions, so as we're going out to meal sites for farmers market checks and things like that, and as we have customers coming in here, we are giving them these sheets that we have from you, and I would like one from you, too, if you would like. Just to find out about what are the important issues that they're facing, you know, what services do they feel maybe are still are needed to try to look at those needs in Grant County a little bit. So, and we've had a pretty good response. We're only going to take those until the end of the month because I literally have to look at them, tabulate them, and move forward on goals because I'm going to have a draft plan to you no later than August, and actually probably July because we have to have a public hearing on it as well. So July or August, you'll have to review a draft plan. The aging plan does have areas that we have to look at. So we have to write SMART goals in the various areas. And the first one is involvement of older people in aging-related program development and planning. So, and that can be a number of things. It can be provide training to improve older people's understanding about local and national government policies, creating opportunities for them to speak for themselves. So we may do some advocacy training on things like that or voter rights or things like that in the future. The other one is obviously the focus on the nutrition program. The nutrition program always gets a lot of attention because it's one of the biggest programs under, you know, Title III for the funding that we receive. So they are continuing to look at that. So we'll have some goals under there. Services in support of caregivers. Again, caregivers is getting a lot of attention this year. If you'll notice all the big signs that AARP has up for caregiving, it's getting a lot of attention because we have a very aging population and they require caregivers. So many people are working full-time and taking care of someone as well. So, and we do have a caregiver program here. The other focus is services to people with dementia. Again, big thing coming out of the Bureau and the aging units as far as aging and ADRC side on being dementia-friendly. And really looking at those services to dementia. The nice thing here is we have the beauty of a dementia specialist, so she's got goals, so we're going to probably steal her goals if they're our goals, too. So that's actually really nice to have Whitney involved in that. The last one is healthy aging. So again, looking at those prevention programs and what we can do on that. And we did hire Emily Wetter on board as an INA, and she has some interest in the prevention programs as well and is looking to be trained in the diabetes. And
that's good because I don't want to lose my ability to be able to do that.
Because we can't get Mary Lou to do it all the time when I really want. And then we do have some local priorities. So if there's something that we want to concentrate on within the county that's more of a county event, then we'll do some goals around there. So we have to formulate some goals in each of those categories. And again, part of what we'll look at is what services we're currently providing, what we know about those services, maybe what we want to do better, and then look at the needs that we're getting from consumers. So I would like, if you would take the time at some point, doesn't have to be today, but if you get it back to me, to fill that out as well, what you think are the needs that you see in Grant County regarding the aging services, that will help us with that. Again, my hope is to get this together. We'll do a draft. Once I'll probably have you look at the draft as well, then do a public hearing has to be done on the draft before it's finalized. A draft plan has to go in September with, I think, a final plan in October or November. So it's a very, very quick turnaround considering all the information that needs to be put into the plan. So, and this is the first one I've written because the last one was 13 through 15. So I had to revise, if you'll recall, I had to revise the goals of the other plan in a SMART format and do some other revisions to those, but that wasn't my plan. So this will be my first aging plan. So, but I think it will
Okay. Any questions on that? Hearing none, we'll go right on to the driver's volunteer.
The volunteer handbook, I did do a volunteer handbook, and I was going to have you guys approve that, but in a conversation I had with Ben Wood yesterday, Ben said he would take a look at it, so I think I'm going to hold off on that. I'm going to have Ben review it before I have you look at it, so if there are some changes that he sees. I kind of wanted Ben to look at it for a couple reasons, because we did have a volunteer driver who was involved in a very serious accident. So I have put some more things into the handbook kind of explaining whose insurance is involved. It's been reiterated with volunteer drivers, but I kind of wanted it in writing and for them to see it and sign off on it. And so in hindsight, I think before I bring it to you, I'm just going to have Ben take a look at that. So we did do a driver training, and I did give them a draft copy because, again, I wanted them to see something that was very clear as our new driver volunteers came on, that they understood that their insurance is the first insurance that happens.
How many new drivers did you have?
I think we had about three. So we do need more drivers all the time. I mean, it's getting more difficult because people are working longer. So, you know, people used to retire earlier and were available, but now we see a lot of people working way past 65. So yeah, I think I will just hold off on that. So a volunteer driver handbook has been, if you want to see it, I'd be happy to share it with you. But I think I'll have Ben take a look at it first, and that way we won't have to make any revisions later on.
So you're indicating it will come back here.
Okay. Yeah.
Any comment on that?
In the past, we've just had a couple little policies, and we haven't had a whole packet for volunteer drivers, so I just wanted them to have everything in
answer questions
one packet.
Okay, we'll go to approval of vouchers. Anybody have any questions on the vouchers? Don't all speak at once.
I'll make a motion to approve the budget.
Steve made a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Wait a second. All those in favor? Any further discussion on it? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. And I'm going to have to leave. So, Jan?
Okay.
You take over with the financial report. Thank you.
Any questions on the
if you need to approve this or if you're just aware, we have to refigure our congregate meal cost and our home delivery meal cost every year. And ours did go up to $10.04. I think it was at $9.86, something like that. Now I've forgotten it. It is now at $10.04. What we have to do, what the state requires us to do, is look at all of our expenses within the nutrition program, admin, everything, factor everything in, and then divide that out. So what they use that figure for is, like, when we deal with family care agencies and they're reimbursing us, that's the reimbursement rate they would be providing us, or somebody who wouldn't be eligible for the program. So sometimes people get excited and like, well, that's a lot of money. And well, it is, but it's not the participant rate. It's just the rate that it's what the program costs to run, basically. And then the contribution level right now is $350, and at this point I don't have any recommendations to raise that. I'm worried right now if we raise it that we'll see even less participation at congregates, so, because we've had some people even struggling with meeting the $350. So if you want to make a motion to approve that, that's fine. I don't know that you need to, but I guess
if you felt that it needed to be changed, if the 350 needed to be changed, then I would suggest we have some discussion on that, and then a motion would probably need to happen. So, any thoughts or concerns with that? We are looking at, they're providing a cost allocation training coming up in the next month or so to look at, again, another thing, they want to standardize that costing and looking at those meals and how we cost that out. So the state's going to be doing a training so that everybody kind of uses the same procedure. So again, a little more lean. So we'll be looking at that. So potentially that could come back if there's or if there are things that come from that training that we're not doing, but I don't expect it at this point.
So it doesn't sound like you think we need a motion.
I don't think so, but if you want to approve it, then it's...
I think it's just information.
It's, yeah.
So then I go down to the Grant County Director's Report.
Right. I don't know why I have market study on there. I left that on. So we've kind of talked about the Lean Project. I won't go on through that. You've got a handout. Really, we've been focusing a lot on, again, Lean initiatives, nutrition. We had Angela Ellis, who is the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging, I never say it right, Aging Resources. All our Title III money gets funneled through GWAR. That's an easier way of calling it. And they come out and do a nutrition assessment every 3 years with us. So we just had that last Friday, and I need to give a shout out to Ruth Rotrammel on that. Ruth is the nutrition coordinator. She's doing that halftime when we restructured, and she did a fantastic job of just, it's a lot. It's pulling literally all our programs, policies, procedures, practices, everything we do in nutrition. It's a very long checklist, and she, as is Ruth's way, she's very organized and had a complete binder with everything in it that we needed and to go over. So she did a fantastic job, and we were able to get through that assessment relatively unscathed. So we knew we had a couple things, and had already talked with Angela Pryor about some things that we wanted to change. So she's going to send us some sample policies and some other things. But really, we had no major issues with the assessment and the practices and things that we're doing. So Ruth is also, she's working on a meal site manager handbook then that will take a lot of that information and put it in an all one spot for meal site managers as well. Part of the issues that I've had is things are kind of here and there, so we're trying to get everything so if somebody has a question, they can just go here and find it. but Angela visited Platteville. We all went to the Platteville meal site for a meal so she could see our process for collecting donations and things like that, because they literally want to see everything that you do. So it went very well, and I'm very appreciative for Ruth for pulling that all together, because really that was her thing. What else is going on? What else do I have on there? I can't even remember. It's been so busy. I did want to mention Health Department. Jeff called me last week, said if we have an opportunity to get this $2,000 grant from Department of Health regarding dementia. It needs to be spent by June 30th. Can we meet? I said, sure. If you get it, yeah, we'll meet. So they did get it, and Whitney and Ruth and I met with Jeff on Monday to discuss it. It's just mostly a planning and assessment grant. It's assessing Department of Health's capabilities in working with in creating dementia-friendly communities. So we did talk about how we see the health department involved in that. He doesn't have the assessment forms, but we'll have to go through and provide them with an assessment of what we feel their department is doing. So the nice thing from that is hopefully it'll grow out of that as we're trying to make these dementia-friendly communities. We do need to start with, you know, our own services in the county first. Hopefully that'll grow into even more. We talked about maybe possibly doing a coalition and things like that, so I think that will be really good. Transportation has overtaken my life lately. Between trying to get answers from the DOT, which is literally like pulling teeth, And trying to figure out our billing system, it's been really time-consuming. But we had Mariah submitted her first WPS claim yesterday, and it's supposed to get kicked back within 24 hours if it's not right. And she was literally, I think, checking it every hour to see. And we didn't get it kicked back, so I think we're good to go on that. Continuous is very helpful, and they're working with us to get caught up. So they've given us an extension to make sure that we can get all our claims processed since we had some issues with that last year. That's working really well. I'm just trying to make sure that we're covering all our bases with DOT reporting, because what I'm finding out is we have three vehicles with Southwest Opportunities that are owned by Southwest Opportunities Center, so I have to file reports with them. Then we've got one vehicle that's Hodan Center, so I have to file a report with them. Then we've got a couple that, you know, we got some that are owned by Grant County, so that's a different funding, you know, we have to, so it's like, I'm doing the same report, but three different times, so. And then she tells me they don't really put a lot of stock in those numbers, so. Well, they're taking a lot of my time, so please look at them, so. Again, we're making progress, but we have, let's see, what else? I already talked about lean. So I think that's, you know, that's the main thing. Again, moving forward, we're going to be looking at just improving customer service. Farmers Market program is operating. We did get Farmers Market checks, so if you know of people that could benefit from the Farmers Market, please let them know. What the Farmers Market does is it provides like $25, essentially coupons, that people can use at the local food stands. They have to be approved, but we have a list of the food stands that are approved. And Baskerville's on the list. They made the list. We just got an update the other day. So they can go in and purchase fresh produce. And that runs through the end of September. So they can, if they qualify, they just have to sign off that they meet some income eligibility requirements, and they can get the coupons. So it's a really good program. It gives people the opportunity to get some fresh produce that they might not normally get. So so if you know if people send them here, they can just walk in, and we can do it here. It only takes about maybe 5-10 minutes at the very most. So we are going out to all the meal sites and providing the opportunity there, and that has been advertised. So last year we sold out. I think we get about 240 maybe, something like that, and we did get them all out to people last year. So
do they keep track of then how many are used?
They do. They do. And unfortunately, while we get them all out, we still don't have as high of a use rate as we would like. And I don't know if people, like, think they're going to keep them till, you know, like, maybe later when you get more of your tomatoes and things like that and then forget that they have them or what. So that's something that we need to look at, because I'm not sure how we make that connection. And possibly, I wonder if we could do a follow-up call on those. We probably, I don't know if we could with INA, though, do you think? To say, hey, we see you got, you know, I don't know.
I would see it as outreach, but okay.
Because it is a problem. I mean, they do get them, and then I just think they get set in a drawer sometimes. I think we've had about I don't think it's been 50%. So, but.
Do they have to use it all? I'm not as familiar with this, because do they have to use it all at once?
I think I'm not sure. That's a question I can ask Leisha and find out for you.
And I wonder if sometimes they think, oh my gosh, $25 worth of produce, I'm not going to the
farmer's
market, especially. Yeah. I mean, I can go to the farmer's market and spend $5. And
I don't think they get cash back, but I'm thinking the drafts come in separate. I'll have Leisha find that out before.
Because it's just like, okay.
Yeah. But I think, like, I would hold on to them until it's like, tomato season and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I think sometimes they forget. So
maybe the meal site managers could remind them.
That's a good. That's a good thing. Yeah. Yeah, because we do advertise it in the News and Views, but yeah, it is kind of discouraging when we make a big effort to get them all out there and then they don't end up using them all.
Do they have to? Yeah.
And it costs.
I thought would be. Could they give it in $5 increments versus $25?
And I don't think they do. Jess, can you answer a question for me? When when they get the farmers market checks, do they have to use them all at once, or do they get them in? Do they come in?
They're two separate books, and there's $4 coupons in a book and a $3 in the other book. So you can use
$3
at once, whatever it may be.
Okay. Thank you. We're trying to explore why they don't always end up using them.
I think sometimes people get them early and then they don't.
Just forget. That's, yeah. That's so.
Or maybe do a big thing in the news and views of, remember you have
right.
Program reports, we should be on track with transportation. Crystal, I've been working on DOT reports, but not program reports here. So Crystal did a nice Excel sheet for me that will have better reporting for transportation. And our lean project is now out and about with new meal site managers doing nutrition reporting, which Crystal is going to be so excited for in July when she has to do the nutrition reporting because it's going to save her so much time, and that I can find other things, other projects for, right?
Right.
That's the whole goal, right?
You don't want to be bored,
right? Yeah. So we'll get those reporting systems in line, but they're kind of off kilter right now. So that's all I have.
Or are you pretty good with politics?
Am I good with politics? Well, I wouldn't run.
Well, I was just you were going to say that you should have served in roles before your evaluation.
I didn't think of that.
Did you? Okay.
Anything on who was on what committees, and I looked in my book
that
when I started, and that list of course a lot of members have changed since then.
Yeah, so maybe at the next one we'll have people, if people want to sign up for various things, or you know, we, from what I could see, is we don't have a lot of subcommittees. It's kind of when one needs to happen that we do one. So
yeah, we did. Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything to bring forth before we adjourn?
And we do have you on for the Nutrition Council. That's invite, if that, I don't think the agenda's gone out yet, but I did make sure that Ruth had you put on for that. So.
Give it to Mary.
Mary,
put your.
Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Yes.
Steve made the motion.
Yeah.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 We'll look at some meal sites in the future. I didn't do this one because of the closed session. I thought it would be a little difficult with some of the meal sites to try to go into closed session. So,
put your address on here. How is the healing? You look a lot.
Yeah.
You're almost back to normal.